This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Coming up on this episode of the Rip City Roundtable, I'm bringing on one of my best friends, growing up with him. I'm so excited. This is, you know, we have been following the team, the Trailblazers, for a very long time. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I think his name's Aaron. I guess I'll bury the lead. His name's Aaron. But, you know, we've known each other since we were very little. I'll let him introduce himself when we jump into the interview. But this is a cool episode. Our first one was great. We had Colin, Adrian on, writers, columnists, whatever you want to label them as. They're amazing. They work for Blazers Edge. Aaron does not do anything with Blazers Edge, but he's an incredible mind. He's a basketball guy. This is going to be a fun one. So I hope you enjoy it. The season, we've said this, I know we're getting to the grind here of the end where we're probably not rooting for losses, but we're not mad if the team loses. And I think that was probably evident the other night against Charlotte, where, yes, we totally want to beat the Hornets. That's not a good team you want to lose to, especially at home. However, because of that loss, that does pull us tied with Charlotte now in where we're trying to get to on the back end of the wins and losses here. We're both 15, both have 15 wins. The problem is Charlotte has 44 losses and we have 42. So we got to play some more games. But if we can get into that top four, bottom four, I guess I shouldn't call it top four, bottom four, that's where we want to be, honestly, at this point, right? Let's get the ping pong balls in our favor. There's a difference there between the fifth and the fourth. Now, last offseason, we were the fifth worst team, and we got the third pick in the draft, so it kind of worked out for us. But let's not play that game again. So we kind of want Charlotte to catch us, and so I know that game sucked. We scored like 80 points. It was terrible. However, the silver lining, Charlotte, come on, baby, pass us up. Next down the list is San Antonio. There's still a glimpse of hope here with San Antonio. Wembanyama is playing out of his mind, and that team is no joke. They won last night. They're 12-48. They could still catch us. And I know it's three games and there's like 20 left, but I don't know if it's going to happen, but it can. And I'm kind of rooting for it. And as much, I want to see our team develop. I want to see Shaden back. Probably just let Brogdon nurse his injuries. Maybe Grant gets a hamstring pull here soon and something like that. And maybe DeAndre Ayton, you know, after maybe the next 10 games, maybe takes a break. Maybe there's ice or something by his house. So, and then we'll see what happens. Maybe we get a top three pick or we're in the top three of the lottery, whatever. But really, we need to get bottom four. So that's where we're at. That's how the season's going. Again, I know we're not rooting for wins and losses, and we've all understood that. Everyone that's Rip City gets it. And so we don't really need to harp on it all the time. But I know that loss sucked, but Charlotte, come on, baby. Let's jump us here. Get us in the bottom four. So anyway, we're going to get this pod going. And again, I'm so excited. Get to bring on one of my good buddies and introduce him to the world. And he's pumped and excited. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rip City Roundtable Podcast. We're back from our break, and man, I'm telling you, episode one was great. Episode two, this is going to be a good one. I got my best friend. I've known this guy for, Aaron, how long have I known you? Long time.
Oh my gosh.
Since
like fourth grade or fourth earlier. Grade?
Maybe earlier. Maybe we did some like Awana together. No, I think we.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Long time. So
decades.
Aaron Brown, he's a doctor. So Dr. Brown is how we need to say it. Sorry, I should have introduced you that way. Aaron and I, man, we've been Blazers faithful for way too long. A lot of painful years. Good memories, but painful years too. I wanted to have you on the show. I know you don't write for the Blazers Edge. You do consume the content. And in fact, you might have been the one that told me about Blazers Edge initially.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my uncle turned me onto it and I told you about it. And yeah, I'm on there all the time.
I love it. No, and it's been great. So give our audience a little introduction of yourself. You know, obviously you grew up around suburbs of Portland, but give us a quick little like 1 minute. Who is Aaron Brown? Who's Dr. Aaron Brown?
So I mean, you summed up a lot of it there, but been a Blazers fan for as long as I've loved basketball. You know, growing up in Portland, that was my team. That was, you know, the place I got to go actually see games live. That was, you know, what I invested my time in. And you know, a little about me, like you said, I'm a doctor, but not a medical doctor, but doctor of biochemistry, and I do research, medical research. But that does afford me some time on the side to watch some Blazers, and I love spending time doing that. I think, you know, you and I both share, you know, not only have we known each other a long time, but we share a bond in that we're no longer in Portland. We're transplants of the Blazers, so we spread our fandom to new corners of the country.
We do. It's like to go to games now. It's, you know, are we gonna, you know, how safe do we feel going to what American Airlines Arena in Dallas? Or
yes.
You know, I've seen the Blazers down in Houston, and that was a terrible experience. So, but we got to do what we got to do. Okay. So you research for a living and you like analyze things, right, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So let's say you had to analyze the team right now. Okay. Let's take our current team. You have to do an analysis and do all the things you do in research. What would be your conclusion right now? Like, what would be your findings if you had to do a research of what's going on?
Well, that is, you know, a big question. We could spend the entire podcast talking about, but some thoughts off the top of the head. I mean, obviously, this is a rebuild year. We all knew it was a rebuild year.
Yeah.
We weren't expecting to win. That was not what this year was about. Yeah. It was about growth. It was about identifying pieces going forward, you know, and finding a new direction for the team.
Yeah.
I'd say that it's been a little more frustrating than I anticipated watching this season.
Yeah. What's been the most like frustrating part?
Same.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but like what's been the hardest part beyond like the obvious of like we're losing, but
yeah, no, it's not so much about the losing. Just it doesn't feel like there's been a direction picked yet. And there's not like a clear path forward. You know, I think we're still looking for that foundational piece or two. We're hoping Scoot becomes that.
Sure.
But he's not there yet.
Can I give you a theory, a working theory? And this is probably not like groundbreaking, but you know, I think the front office, unless they were blown away by a deal for Brogdon or Grant or even like a little fringe offer for like Matisse or something, I think they were looking at this draft coming up, and everyone's talking, it's weak draft. And maybe it is a weak draft, and there's not much in there, right? Not good players. The one after it, like Cooper Flagg would come out, like he's going to be a great player.
Mm-hmm.
There's just really good prospects. Do you think the Blazers are just like, and I know this sucks, but like loading up for one more terrible year, and then next season we will unload like all the guys to try to get as many assets as possible in that draft?
I think that's possible. I think as far as like trading Grant and Brogdon, if you actually look at what was out there available, I don't think there was like a ton of teams moving draft picks, right? Everyone's talking about like the Lakers are going to have three more picks. All these teams were kind of locked in, and they didn't have picks to throw around. The only teams with picks to throw around were like OKC, who seems unwilling to trade any picks.
And, they're not trading nobody.
You know, these teams that just weren't being dealt. So I think maybe there was probably not a deal.
Yeah, when you look at teams like the two that come to mind are Utah and OKC, right, that have a ton of picks because of the trades they've made. And in reality, for sure, OKC, they're not going to be bad for at least 5 to 7 years, right? We'll touch on our we're currently matched up against each other in our fantasy basketball league right now, and it's curious.
I noticed
you and I each have a prominent OKC player, but I don't think Oklahoma City is going to be bad anytime soon. So those draft picks, even if they're like 20, 29, or 30 picks, probably aren't going to be that good. And Utah, probably similar. I know they're not as good as Oklahoma City right now, but I still don't think those picks. So even if we got them to like give us picks, and I know some of them own other teams' picks and all that stuff, so I know it's not just a true like one to one or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think that was happening with the teams that have the picks, and then the teams that you would be trading for or trading with that are contenders, yeah, just don't have any of their own assets. Most of them don't.
Yeah, no, I totally get it, but I think it just, you know, circling back to, you know, what we're talking about with the way the team's going, what the progression is going to be. I think there's a couple other things to highlight. One, injuries have played a part in making it disappointing, right? Like, we were expecting to lose, but we were expecting to see Scoot, Shaden, Anfernee all playing together. Can that backcourt work?
Yeah.
You know, are there weaknesses to that? What would that look like? And just Sharp's been out a long time.
Yeah.
Simon's in and out, Scoot in and out. I mean, it just hasn't felt like all the pieces have been there to just like see what we got. And that to me has been the most disappointing part, is just I can't make a judgment that it's not consistent enough.
Which player, like if you were to have picked, if Scoot could have been healthy the whole year or Shaden was healthy the whole year, which one would you have preferred to like just watch? Not saying like just where their growth would be, but just like you as a fan.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Which one would you have preferred?
That's a great question. I think I would still say Scoot at the beginning of the year was the one I wanted to see the most. But having, you know, watched what I have seen, I wish I could have seen more Shaden, I think, if that makes sense.
Yeah, more Shaden. I think he
What about you?
Yeah, I think from like, especially when the season started, and Shaden kind of definitely like jumped off the page. I think in my opinion, just from like his leap from last year to this year, I think that would have been more exciting to watch Shaden play and to see where he would have got to in year two. Cause a lot of those players, a lot of your all-star level players, like that year two is very telling, I think, to where they can get to.
Exactly.
And I think Scoot was always going to have a hard time in this season, no matter what. Like, he just, you know, point guard, his shots developing, you know, decision making, all that stuff is just hard as a point guard. So I think regardless, it's fun to watch Scoot. Like, we've shifted our franchise to him, or basically made that decision, right? Keep Scoot or draft Scoot and trade Dame. So, like, clearly we want to see this guy work out and develop. But I think I would have been more excited for Shaden. I like jump out of my seat when he's healthy and he's grabbing rebounds. Like, I've never been so excited to see someone rebound. Like, he just is nuts as a two guard, just gets so high. And it's like,
it's just effortless. His jumping is effortless.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Just the most insane play. So, okay. All right. So the research shows, a little bit of a downer season because we've been.
Well, and injured. Yeah. So, talking research, though, you know, I did look up some numbers because I was curious, just trying to compare. Let's take Scoot, for example, and this season, what it's been like compared to some of his other rookies, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that stood out to me in comparing him to, like, Brandon Miller, not so much Wemby because he has been on a minutes restriction, but Miller's had a lot more playing time. Like, just per game minutes is just higher.
Yeah.
And like, that's a big deal. You get more chances to have the ball in your hand, to develop a chemistry with your teammates. And I just think because of that crowded backcourt and Scoot's kind of slow start, it's been hard for him to get those minutes, and I would have liked to see more from him,
more minutes.
Chauncey.
Yeah, I wonder if that had to be. I mean, that had, yeah, Chauncey, but that had to be an internal decision, right? Like that had to be things he's seen every day at practice or this or that, and it's like I want to get this guy and see if he can handle coming off the bench, almost from a maturity standpoint, or like, is he going to think he's, well, I'm the third pick. I need to be starting. Like, what are you guys doing? Maybe if that played part of it, I don't know. You know, I just watch.
Maybe. I think Chauncey was given a hard task with trying to balance, you know, he's got Brogdon, he's got Simons. These are two experienced NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you balance that with trying to get these rookies in? And he's, you know, just trying to play all that, you know. Yeah. He doesn't want to lose. He's trying to win games, right? That's his job. So like,
yeah.
I know why Scoot didn't get playing time. It's because there is some talent on this team. You know, some of these other teams don't have talent, and so like, there's just open space for
yeah. Brandon Miller, go. Here's the ball. Like, yeah. Like especially once like Lonzo gets hurt.
Yeah, once Lonzo is out. I mean,
it's
yeah,
like who exactly. In the heck is shooting? You know, and like Miles Bridges has had a good season for Charlotte, and they would, you know, Miles could play like that four, and Brandon plays the three or whatever for Charlotte. But it's just like, yeah, that dude had the greenest of lights to go crazy, and he's taking advantage, and probably people would never argued Brandon Miller's like scoring ability, right? I mean, I think everyone would have said he's going to come in the league, probably has a better rookie season from that perspective than Scoot was going to have, just because he already was equipped with all those attributes. I think Scoot can get there, but not to digress.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
Miller, but
I do think, yeah, I think I've gone on a roller coaster with Scoot this year, you know. Thinking, just wait, and then be like, nah, he's not good, and then now sure. I'm back in the no, he's gonna be good, he's gonna be good.
People were like so quick to be like bust, like he's a bust, or they'll say like, oh, he's just like Russell Westbrook, and I'm like, do people remember Russell Westbrook when he was like Oklahoma City at the height? Like Russell was crazy, like he. Like Kevin Durant got all the attention, but like Westbrook was the guy. And yes, he had, he always gets knocked on his shooting, and Russ doesn't, you know, see the game the way he should, maybe on offense or whatever. But like, I'm like, if that's the like, well, dang it, he's just Russell Westbrook. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, I'll take that. So, yeah. But I think he can be better. But I do think, Aaron, don't you think there's something to be said with like, he goes to the bench. You know, Chauncey puts him on the bench. You can, like, teach up a young player by, like, ask, okay, what are you seeing right now? You know, what look what Brogdon's doing here. Look what that. And then, like, so there's so much learning and teaching going on in that aspect. And I know playing is obviously going to always be better because you get the experience. But I do think there's something to be said with, like, a rookie and NBA seasons are crazy. There's not as much practice time where you get to let that one-on-one while the game is going. Especially the start of
that's
a game.
Great point. I think a good example is Pods on Golden State. That kid has developed so well just watching Curry, learning from Curry, following Curry.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think if he's on another team, he's at this place where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we had drafted Pods, there's no way he's doing what he's doing with us, what he's doing there, right?
No.
Because
yeah.
You do get to learn just by watching, just by taking in. And not just that, the habits of a good NBA player, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lillard's presence here can still be felt because I'm sure Simons, you know, knew how to conduct himself throughout the season. And Grant is a professional. And you got these guys who we're not your typical rebuilding team because we have some vets. And sure. I think that's important.
Yeah. All right. I want to ask you a question. this was not prepped. I think this will be the theme of this podcast. People are going to notice. I'll try to give you time to think while I lay out the question. Okay, so if you could take, I'm going to give a time frame to this. So kind of the era that we started really watching, and you know, we grew up in the, you know, Sheed and Sabonis, you know, trade for Scotty. Like that was kind of, you know, we were middle school, entering high school, kind of in that
right.
frame. So, but I'd say the meat of our fandom was, you know, Brandon and LaMarcus, and where poor Greg could have gotten to and those things. So let's just say, for example, let's take the 2000 season. So that's Rasheed, Sabonis, Pippen, Steve Smith. You could put one player on this team, Aaron, for next season. Okay, this season's over. Okay, forget about it. Forget about the season. Next season, you can take one player, put him on our team. Which one gives us the best chance to be a, not even like a playing team, like, I don't want to say contender either, but like we're getting the four seed. You take one. You can take any player. You don't have
one team from the 2000s.
No, one player from any team from the Blazers from the year 2000 onward. You can pick one player and put them from that time onto our team right now.
Oh, I see.
And you're not removing anybody. So you're not saying, well, okay, then we got to, you know, let's say you want to pick Dame. That you could do that. You're not removing like Scoot. We throw Dame on the team. Who are you picking? You get anybody. I have mine, but I want to see who you would pick. You get one.
Okay, yeah, unprepped. My first thought is Rasheed Wallace.
Okay.
Because just uber talented, and he would slide Grant up to the three, and then we'd just have like shooting and offense galore. We'd just have but
that's
there's
true.
A lot of ways I could have gone. That's just my first thought.
Well, no, that's, I mean, Rasheed was like definitely ahead of his time as like that stretch three, you know, and was just so athletic. It just was like, man, he just, the mental side and him being like our guy kind of held those teams back just a tad. But that would be, man, prime Rasheed, like that 2000 Rasheed would be crazy. All right, you know where I'm going? I thought you were going to say this person. So I was going to pivot and say somebody else, but you can't tell me. You have next season, you got Scoot, Shaden, Simons, Grant, all these guys, and I know Scoot can't really shoot as well yet, but he's going to get there. You get those four guys all hovering around Arvydas Sabonis. Oh, Aaron. Oh, baby. Those behind the back pass. Sabonis at the high post. Like, you wouldn't know what to do. Oh,
Jokic 2.0. We'll have
Wait, what?
Oh. It would be like Jokic.
It would be like Jokic. Totally like Jokic. Yeah, I would maybe just because I want to see Arvydas play again. But
yeah.
That's a bonus on this team. But anyway, okay, that's good. I like that. What? So from, like, do you remember a game back in the day? I know we want to focus on this season, but this season's kind of where it is. What was, like, look back at a memory? Like, what is something that stood out to you, or, like, a game or a player? Is there anything that is, like, cemented in your brain as, like, oh, yeah, this was my Blazers childhood or memory?
Sure. I mean, definitely the ones that stand out. And I should back up a little bit here.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about our history with the Blazers. I think my fandom really took off, though, when we went off to college, and it was more of those like Brandon Roy, LaMarcus Aldridge, Lillard teams, because I think it was younger. It was harder to follow when I was younger, but then I just got really invested, especially not being in the town with the team. And I think it just creates more of a, so like those teams, I think have a stronger place in my heart. Yeah. I think one memory that stands out is the playoff game, the walk-off shot against the Rockets where Lillard hits that three and you go and you punch a hole in the wall in our apartment. Because you were so excited.
Wait, hold on. I don't mean to correct you.
Which game was
you're
that?
You're thinking of a different walk-off shot against the Rockets.
That was Brandon's three.
His three.
Yes.
Can I give context
right.
to your memory first? So we're at our apartment, you are correct, and we are watching this game with one of our good friends, Farah. And Farah grew up in Houston.
Yes.
Shout out to Farah.
I remember.
She is a huge Rockets fan. Like I'm surprised she didn't name her kids like Hakeem and Olajuwon, Najmudi, or Lang. Like, yeah. I don't know why, but she is like huge Rockets fan. And so we're watching that game. And, you know, and she's like a trash talker. Like, she's like, makes it so stressful to watch a game because it's like, oh my gosh. But remember, we're up, I think we're up one or up two. And it's like 2 seconds left. And Yao Ming hits that turnaround jumper. And Brandon fouled him. And he so he hits the jumper. Now they're up one. And then he and Yao's right. going to the and Farrah, right. yeah, and Farrah's just in my face, like, oh, I told you, like, you're Rockets, and just I'm just like, oh my, just in my face, and Yao hits the free throw, which I think he should have missed that in retrospect, but he makes it
right.
So we get the ball, and yeah, that inbound, you know, Batum, I think inbound to Brandon, and that rainbow three, just like I yes. think it went out of frame on the TV. And just buries it. And I was just like
it
in
was
her
face. It was Brandon Roy. You're it was right. I was getting my timeline.
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
Yes.
And I was just in Farrah's face. And then I was so
excited. I remember
excited.
The build up to that. Yes. Yeah. The like back and forth. I know there was definitely some tension. That's why it was just so great.
Oh,
a moment.
And where... all the energy released. Yep. And then hit my hand. I was bleeding a little bit, and then it punched the hole
you
in the wall.
For this team, Corey. You bleed for
I
this
bleed.
Team.
I bleed for this team. And people would come over and see that and be like, oh my gosh, did someone get really mad?
It was there a long time.
It was there.
It was there for the rest of our time until we moved out. And then you're like, oh, I should probably fix this.
Dude, no, so my dad came into town for the barathon. It's like a half marathon that our university puts on. And it got canceled because of the lightning. And then so my dad didn't say, but he like went to the store, he bought the repair kit, and my dad fixed that hole in the wall. I felt so bad. He was like, well, you had a hole in the wall, and I just figured I'd fix it. Remember, Aaron, we like hung our fantasy there's like a fantasy football banner, and we
just hiding
we put it up on the wall to hide the hole. Dude, that was wild.
So that will forever live on in memory.
That is such a good, yeah, I forgot about that. Dang nabbit. Yeah, man, Brandon. Oh, Brandon. We just got robbed.
Oh, that was yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Should have been.
Yeah. Should have been. He would be an interesting one on this team, but there's so many guards that it just wouldn't like make sense to put Brandon Roy on this team.
Just to like see him play again though, I would do it.
Yeah, that'd be killer. you always try to get me to, well, when CJ was on the team, you had like some friend in Dallas or something that knew him.
No, never worked out.
I know, yeah. And you always were like, dude, come up. We'll meet CJ afterwards. And I was just like, what? Are we really gonna do that? And we never did it.
That guy disappeared.
He's no longer
Eric Prescott, if you're listening. Where'd you go?
Come on, Eric. We should have met up with CJ. All right. So moving into next season, and I think I asked Adrian this question. I'll ask you this to you as well. If you were to pick, let's see if you say the same answer, between one of these two players to be an all-star next season or even beyond, which one gives us the better chance of winning a title? Okay. Jabari Walker or Tumani Kamara? One of those two turns out to be an all-star. Which one gets us over the hump to being in contention for a title?
That's a strange question. okay, so...
They're both like... Okay, so Tumani, obviously rookie. Jabari, second-year guy. So they both kind of do a lot of things. They hustle, rebound. You know, Kamara's shooting needs to come along. Jabari's a little bit better. But, you know, they're kind of those do-it-everything guys. Like, that. They fill the, you know, like the Mo Harkless or Aminu roles. But let's say they take another step and they become all-stars.
Right, but that's what makes it a strange question to me is exactly what you described. They're like the do-it-everything guys who are typically not the guys that get all-stars.
So which one of
so one of them is going to develop an offensive game where they get the ball in their hand. We run the offense through them.
One of them becomes like Draymond.
Right.
Which one's like the Draymond of the team? Draymond Green. Which one would make us better to get to title contention?
I feel like it doesn't matter. Like, either way, it's like
you got to pick one. You got to pick one.
But he picked two players that do the same role.
I think there is a more obvious answer.
Okay, well, I will say Jabari.
Oh, I was gonna say Tumani. Okay,
I know. I thought you might.
Well, state your case Jabari. Then. Why is it Jabari? What? Just lay it out for me.
I think for all the things you said, like, he's doing all these other little things, and if he can also add the part of his game where he's putting the ball on the floor and making plays, you know, he's driving and kicking and hitting open shots, I just think that opens up so much more offense and keep the defense strong, and I think it's just be
okay.
That would be my recipe, but I think you could make the exact same case for Tumani, so I don't know.
I think one of the biggest differences, I think, between the two is I think Jabari has more of the playmaking ability, and I think his, like, high post game, set screens and be a playmaker, I think that's has a higher ceiling than Tumani. I think Tumani could be the guy that's just, like, all over the floor, super, you know, aggressive, needs to be able to hit the open shot, and, like, his defense can smother, versus, like, I don't think Jabari's calling card is defense more so than it is, like, all around do a bunch of things really well. But if he could become, like, a distributor guy, I think that's where he could get to, and I think that's ultimately, like, so important in today's game. So I like where you're going. I think if Tumani was, like, this all-world defensive guy and he's making an all-star team, has to mean that his offense kind of got somewhere where he's not just like this liability.
He needs to be averaging 25 points a game for sure.
Oh man, if Tumani could average 25 points a game, we'd be murdering, baby. We'd be killing in a good way, not a bad way. I don't want to murder anybody, but
on the court, yeah,
on the court. So, what are you looking forward to? What's Aaron looking forward to for the rest of this year? Like, if you were gonna tune in for these games, these are gonna be hard to watch.
I just like to see guys get healthy and play together some more. I just haven't seen enough. I would love to see some Scoot Sharp at some point, and just, like, can that tandem work?
Yeah.
You know, what's the defense look like from them? You know, we've long had a history of bad defensive backcourts, so
sure.
Having a chance to see if we could play some defense on that end would be nice.
I think so. I think we'll get there.
But yeah, this season it's just kind of like we're just kind of getting through it.
Okay. One last question about our center, DeAndre Ayton, and then we'll wrap it up. Is he it? Like, are we good at center? Or do you think it's not going to pan out with him?
So I go back and forth with this. I like DA. I think he's good. I think his game is good, and he could be a good NBA player. I think his head is in the wrong space. I think he's not fully understanding his role, maybe. I get it. You go number one overall. You're super talented. You're, what, Pac-12 player of the year? You know, I think he was, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had a long history of success, and I think it's kind of hard to come back from that. But I think he's really good. I think he does a lot of things really well. I'd almost like to see us get him the ball more, because he seems to finish with high percentage a lot of the time, and
yeah, I think this past game, I think we would have seen DA have probably his best, I wouldn't say even just eye test game, but, like, statistical game of the entire season. But he got hurt. He fell weird onto his wrist and was taken out of the game.
Mm.
And so he didn't get a chance to finish it, obviously, but I think I did the post game analysis of it, and I was trying to pull up what I had written, but, like, he had, like, 10 points or, like, 12 points and 10 rebounds or something like that, and he was, like, and he was playing really well, but then he got taken out of the game. Oh yeah, Yeah, it was 10 points. One block, two steals. And he was playing against one of the players on your fantasy team, Adebayo, against Bam, who was supposed to be this defensive guy. And I think DA was feasting. Like, he was making Bam look silly. And I was like, okay, I see it, DA. And then he gets hurt. And I was just like, ugh. Like, but I think we are feeding him the ball a little bit more. I see that. And
I have noticed that in the last, compared to earlier in the season, for sure. Like,
yeah.
I actually didn't know he had gotten hurt. Was that yesterday?
This game was.
Oh no, Miami was.
Well, as we're recording this, yeah, this was when we played the Miami Heat. So this would have been like Tuesday night.
Tuesday.
Okay. But yeah, he came back in after halftime, maybe for like a minute or 2 minutes, and then they took him back out because it's like, why? Okay. I mean, why are we risking anything at this point with any player?
Yeah.
But yeah, he. He was playing well. I think he ends with.
I do think he is good, and I think if we want to have a good team, he will be on a good team down the road. It's just a matter of what his work ethic is, what he's willing to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he could be the number one. I'm not sure about that. It's hard for a center to be the number one option, and I don't know that he has the skills to do that, like a Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think he's going to be that.
But yeah.
Maybe he wants to be. If he wants to be, maybe I would take it.
he is my barometer because he is the oldest of the young guys. He's 25, which is not even that old. But I think in 3 years, the 2027-28 season, DA is 28 years old. Scoot is in his fourth year. Shaden in his fifth year. Jabari, fifth year. Tamani, fourth year. Don't know if we still have Simons, and I know there's. I think the camps are going to start to form this off season, Aaron. Like the tribal camps, it's going to be Camp Simons and Camp Sharp, and then you'll have Camp Scoot in the middle. That's like, oh, we can go either way. But I think I'm leaning towards Camp Sharp with a little bit of Scoot, and I think Simons is out. And I love Anfernee. I just see that.
Right.
Let's say that scenario plays out. The 2027-28 season. That's our year.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it's 3 years away, but I think it's 3 years. I think it's three years away.
That's a long way away. But no, that's what a rebuild. That's what it takes.
Before DA gets too old. I think that's what I'm saying. Before DA gets too old.
A couple guys will be joining between now and then. Hopefully we get some good draft picks and
we get LeBron at age 43. He
with Bronny.
with Bronny. Because let's be real, Bronny's gonna probably be at USC 2 more years.
Yeah,
he's not ready, and so we draft Bronny.
We'll finally get LeBron.
We'll get LeBron. Bring us a title, and then I'll be a big LeBron fan at that point. Jared, our good friend Jared, gives me a hard time all the time because one of my like players I won't say hate, but like just loathed, and then maybe that's the same thing. I don't know if that's a synonym of hate, but. Disliked was Carmelo Anthony. I couldn't stand Carmelo Anthony. I words couldn't describe how I felt about Carmelo Anthony. But when he joined the Blazers, I was like, let's go. Like, look at Carmelo. He can hit the 15-footer, and he's a leader, and he's going to help lead the bubble team to a COVID tourney title. I can't call it an NBA championship, but winning the COVID tournament. And Jared was like, wow, you're so quick to turn. And I was like, well, you know, when they join the Blazers, it's a whole different story.
It's a whole different.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, cool. All right, Aaron, where can people find you? Where can they follow your takes and opinions? Where are you at? I have to ask. I ask everybody else.
Oh, man. I don't really – they can't really find me. This is the place to find me. I'm a hidden enigma.
Are you gonna start your, like – do we say X accounts now? Is that where we're at? Yeah, or do we still say Twitter? Twitter, formerly known.
I just don't post to it. I just like to follow other people. But
okay.
All right. Yeah, I think
– So just here.
Maybe down the road, if you ask me that, I'll have an answer. But
okay, they can like find you on Facebook and send you a Facebook Messenger.
No, my Facebook is gone.
Oh, your Facebook's gone. So
Facebook
nowhere.
Was hacked. So if you find Aaron Brown on Facebook, it's not me. It's an imposter.
Okay. Well, I like that you're hard to find. That's good. I'm glad we get you on here. You're like a spy or something. So good.
Exactly.
Deal.
That's why I can't show my face. This is actually an altered voice. I'm using a voice alteration.
I love it. I love it. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Altered Aaron Voice. But no, for real, man, it's a pleasure. Aaron's going to be a frequent flyer on the Rip City Roundtable because you're at the Roundtable, Aaron. You have a seat at the Roundtable.
It sounds like so much fun. I can't wait to keep doing this with you. I'll bring some hotter takes down the road. You know, today was just kind of a warm up. We'll get we'll get the fire cooking there as we go. But
It's like before, you know, we were on our high school basketball team together, and it's kind of like when you're warming up. You know, do you warm up with threes? No, you have your layups, your layup line, right?
Yeah, the first. And you thing. Always miss your first layup.
You
That's
always.
Important.
Well, I was going to bring up a certain play that we ran every game, and it was perfection except for one part of it. But we'll talk about that next time, Aaron. Okay, let's tease. Yeah, leave the listeners wanting more. All right, buddy, Aaron,
Corey,
Dr. Brown. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me, Corey.
Anytime. See you.
Go Blazers.
Go Blazers. All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Episode 2. Oh my gosh, we already have 2 episodes done of the Rip City Roundtable. Hope you enjoyed hearing my buddy Aaron. You know, again, we go way back. It was a ton of fun having him on the podcast. Really his first podcast he's ever done. I should have stated that, and I didn't. And he was maybe a little nervous, but he killed it. He did such a good job. Aaron's going to come at us with some really good stats down the season here, down the road and beyond. You know, he's a researcher, so that's what he does. So, but this first one was good to get his feet wet with the podcasting in the podcasting world. So I really hope you all enjoyed it. We'll be coming back again. We're going to be interviewing people all around the universe of Rip City. So Riders on Blazers Edge, my buddy Aaron, get some people that are close to the team or used to work for the team, maybe some players, people in the G League, wherever. So all in around, they're at our round table. And that's the point of the podcast, is that we get various opinions, different people that have different outlooks on the team. So I'm excited. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Giddy up, get ready for next week's and beyond. So thanks for listening to the Rip City Roundtable. Again, I'm your host, Corey Dickman. Y'all have a great day. And remember, it's a great day to be a Blazer.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.